stuff. We really want to keep it very strictly confidential. So we're just going there just to do an overview about what our services are and then what they can contact us with. That's all.
This is Hannah Tyler. I'm just curious, Lisa, I wanted to ask you, how did your camp go? I believe you had the camp in August. How did that turn out?
Yes. This is Lisa. Oh, wow, what a wonderful, wonderful time. I mean, it was such a rich experience for all of us and quite inspiring. Many of our individuals, whether they be deaf, deafblind, or hearing, I mean, they were just totally involved in this. They've talked about how much they learned during the week. It really was a very positive, you know, environment. We talked a lot about ProTactile and how it provides an opportunity for more equal access. And it was, everybody really had a wonderful time educationally and, you know, in other ways. So they feel that they really learned a lot about ProTactile. And, you know, like, for example, the SSP, they realized how, you know, the whole point of this is to open up opportunities and access so that there is no longer any oppression or people don't feel like they're behind. We went kayaking. We did all kinds of fun activities. We had campfires at night. Everything was done tactfully. Jesse, do you want to add any more to that? Just a second. We're going to switch interpreters.
Jesse here. I'm sorry. You need to spotlight Jesse. Sorry, great, thank you. Yes, again, Jesse here. So first and foremost, I do certainly want to just really mention that ASD was really thrilled to host that event. It was an amazing experience for all. I feel like, you know, with this being the first year, we did have a small group, but even still, it was an amazing group of people. We had five campers, and they were from, well, one was from, goes to Helen Keller Center in New York, the other one is from New York City, one from Florida, one from an international camper from Belgium, and the final camper was from Massachusetts. Who we had deafblind staff members that were from New York, from Texas. Trying to think, we also had ones from Canada and Connecticut, of course. Illinois, Lisa's adding. I'm trying to remember where else, but nonetheless, it was a wonderful experience. We had a rope course, a rope set up so that people were able to safely maneuver the campus independently. Communication access worked seamlessly. We had everyone in attendance feeling as if they were equal, regardless of their vision and hearing abilities. We utilized tactile interpreting for all, and it was just an amazing experience to see. And then on the People's Visitors Day, we had about 75 visitors. 35 to 40 people who came in to visit and see and meet the campers and see the setup and how the camp was run. We did have a total of 75 people on campus for that part of the experience, which was also another amazing thing. And that's that.
This is Hannah Tyler. That sounds fabulous, and it's only your very first. So I can just imagine what the second one will be. That's great. I'm also reviewing our minutes from last, and I remember that there was a sponsorship for Walk and Roll Outreach. I wonder how that went. Was it Muriel? Okay, so she's not available. I wonder how that went.
I can report on that if you'd like, Hannah.
Okay.
Yes, so the City of New Britain annually does a walk and roll event to in Walnut Hill Park to bring attention to services available to persons with disabilities. And there were three different programs from the Department of Aging and Disability Services. There was Besby's Adult Services Program was there. I was there with Mark Rafferty, who's a rehab teacher, and Glenn Jablon, who's a mobility instructor. Muriel was there from Access Through Technology. And there was also representation from the Bureau of Rehabilitation Services, New Britain office. And our commissioner was there as well. And it went, we did distribute a lot of information. We encountered some of our clients and some of our community contacts, and we explained the services that were available as people came up and visited us at the table.
Well, thank you.
Lisa here with a question.
Go ahead.
I loved hearing about that. I know that Jesse and I, through our experience, learned that over the summer there was a camp, and some of the campers at the camp who were from out of state, not Connecticut residents. I think, you know, what we were a little disappointed by is that there were no Connecticut residents. And I don't know if the reason, what it seemed to be, is the expense of the camp. So, you know, we did certainly advise them to reach out to the CAN board and ask for some assistance to attend the camp for our deafblind clients to be able to go, but it didn't seem like that went through. So I know that the Oak Hill organization you had mentioned did have the ability to get that funded for some of their individuals. So I'm just, you know, that was a concern of ours. We were hoping that, you know, we could encourage those Connecticut residents who are deafblind to attend our camp going forward and so on, to have that experience, to provide that equal access to them as well.
Chris, this is Margie. Do you want me to speak about that, or do you want to?
I think that'd be great, Margie. Go right ahead. I will chime in if there's any need, but feel free.
Okay. So as far as the other clients that are from Oak Hill attending the camp, that is part of their contract. They are the original pilot study that this whole money was funded upon. They have significant disabilities, and that is what this grant money was for. It was actually for those students, because that's the whole reason for the statute, is for those students. They were not able to attend camp for, you know, a number of reasons because of COVID, but the whole reason for the money, again, is for those particular students. They did have some students that were able to go out, which is amazing that they were able to get some of those students out. And I do see Elise is here, so she can speak about that. But I do also want to say that that is part of their contract. So when they've submitted their contract, it is in their contract that that is what this money is for, is to send them to camp, to give them experiences. That they live in group homes. They don't get out. They don't get, to go to, say, if you wanted to go to a hotel and you wanted to stay somewhere, you can just bring a friend with you and go to a hotel. These particular students can't just do that. They can't just go out and, you know, be involved in the community like that. They need to have other supports. So that's where they get this particular money for the camp, to go out and have those other types of experiences. There's also, as far as, like,
I understand that. Thank you for clarifying that now, okay. Lisa.
Yeah. Some of the other meetings that we had too was that I was talking with fiscal. They do not give money for scholarships. They do not give grant money away. That's not what they do. They have to account for every dollar. It is required to go to an authorization for each individual person. That has been what's established. And they do not do the money for the camp because it's not part of the contract. CAN does not have a contract for camp money. So there's different funding sources and rules and regulations and behind the scenes. So I just wanted to clarify that.
If I can add one thing to what Margie said also, for the Oak Hill clients who use some of the financial award to Oak Hill to go to the summer camp that is mentioned in their contract, that is part of their annual award for services for community inclusion. So if down the road there was a determination that a camp be covered for clients served through the Communication Advocacy Network, that money that covered the attendance at the camp would come out of the $10,000 annual allocation. So, and we do have a number of clients served through CAN who are, bumping up close against the $10,000, so they have to that determination if that's how they wanted to use some of their annual award to facilitate their attendance at the camp. But it would have to be as part of that annual award, not on top of it. So I just wanted to explain that.
Lisa here again. Can we just spotlight Lisa? Thank you. Thank you so much for explaining and clarifying that. I do have a better understanding now. So out of curiosity, because this is a new camp and something that has been added as an activity and an educational and communication support option, who and how, as far as legislation or so on, would then propose that to the state to see if we can get those additional funds to support those campers from Connecticut, just as Oak Hill has done? How would we go about making that happen for the other residents here in Connecticut to include that as an option for them, so they too could not be have as much isolation at home? I'm just wondering that.
This is Margie. I don't know. That's a question for Chris.
And I don't know if Andrew is still on either. But what I would say is that it would have to be for those clients whose community inclusion or SSP services are provided through CAN, the Communication Advocacy Network. If you were following the model that say Oak Hill did, that would be something addressed through the agreement of the contract that the state has with the Communication Advocacy Network. That would obviously only apply to those BESB clients whose SSP services are provided through CAN. And so that's, I think that would be for when that, you would go to CAN to discuss whether that would be possible when they renegotiate the contract with the state of Connecticut.
Thank you for that clarification.
I just had a question. Elise is here from Oak Hill, and I was wondering if she can actually talk a little bit about the campers that went to the camp, because we haven't seen your face for a long time, and I'm actually seeing you for maybe the first time. I've only emailed you, so any information you can give me about the experience of those campers would be great.
Um, Hi, Elise Arsenault here, Director of Community Programs for Oak Hill. Yes, we had four individuals from one of our group homes who have been missing out on camp for the past several years because of COVID. We haven't opened the camp in a couple of years, so they were thrilled to be able to go. They participated in arts and crafts and music. They had people coming in to do different activities with them. I visited the camp. I don't know, it's beautiful. There's campfires. They participated in doing s'mores and having activities throughout the whole day for the entire. It wasn't a whole week. It usually is a whole week. Just like everybody I heard talking about having difficulty finding SSPs, we're also having difficulty finding staff for a variety of our programs, including camp. So we weren't even sure if it was going to be able to happen this year, but the staff really pulled it together to be able to make it happen. I've been out to the group home where the four gentlemen went, and they haven't stopped talking about it. They've been really excited, already asking if they can go again next year. So we're really thrilled to have been able to make it happen. And I know that the plans are in the works to be able to get the four of them and then anybody else who is part of the BESBE grant to be able to go for next year. There was a kind of a waiting list this year, unfortunately, because of the last 2 years not having opened into the camp. So it was a great time for them, and we're looking forward to it for next year.
Okay, this is Hannah Tyler. It is only 11:27, and we have a half an hour to speak whatever we'd like, or we can adjourn. Does anyone have any announcements? Any exciting news?
Alvin here has his hand raised. Hi, yes, this is Alvin Chegg. I did have one item that I wanted to maybe ask your opinion amongst the deafblind consumers and customers and clients. It's been my experience with appointments that are held with doctor's offices or any other, maybe an eye doctor, a dentist, that they were already provided with the tactile interpreters. And I know that sometimes it is that, there is like a cancellation or a delay in the appointment, but I'm wondering if your clients are also experiencing several cancellations and postponements in appointments as well.
Alvin, this is Margie. Just to clarify, are you asking like the individual consumers here that are deafblind, if they've had cancellations and postponements, or are you asking like workers if we've had to postpone appointments that we're having with our clients that are deafblind? And just so I can understand the question.
Sorry, the flashing in the background is just my video phone. You can just ignore that. So I think what I'm asking is that I know that, you know, you guys have these clients and you're able to reach out to me, and so I can help facilitate and resolve any issues that may come out with these postponements and cancellations, because I have seen a lot of frustration amongst the deafblind community where their appointments are continuously canceled and postponed, and it certainly does have an impact on their health. So I'm assuming, yes, so I'm just wondering if, you know, whether it is at Oak Hill or at a variety of services in the area, I'm just wondering if others have noticed, or if there's a way we can resolve that amongst the workers.
Can we switch interpreters now, please?
We'll switch interpreters.
Thank you.
So this is Margie. As far as us getting interpreters, I'm finding that I'm having to cancel appointments as well. There are no interpreters, or the lack of them. I don't know how to encourage more interpreters to, you know, to come on board and use, you know, tactile interpreting. A lot of interpreters prefer now to stay home with their video relay. I don't know other ways to get interpreters. I'm working with Pat to try to get interpreters. She would be the go-to person to get interpreters. It would be you. If I needed somebody for, you know, somebody in crisis, I would reach out to you, say, help, I need an interpreter. But I really don't know how to get more interpreters involved. If there's a lack of interpreters, then unfortunately appointments are going to be postponed. I don't know what else to do, you know.
This is, I believe, Sherry and Lisa. Okay, Lisa, yes. Yeah, Lisa here. That is very true. It is a difficult situation to be able to get interpreters in general, but especially someone to provide access for deafblind individuals. I've been talking to people, and I'm understanding that a lot of the interpreters, whether they've been trained in interpreter training programs or whatever, they don't have specific experience working with individuals who are deafblind, and they have no experience in working with tactile interpreting. So yes, it is a problem in general, and it's more of a problem because they're uncomfortable. Maybe after COVID, they're even more uncomfortable with the concept of tactile interpreting. But it just doesn't seem to be something that interpreter training programs are including in their curriculums. And I know that CRID, the Connecticut Registry of Interpreters for the Deaf, they're talking. I think there's actually a move in the national registry to include deafblind interpreting, but we are working hard within our community to try to prevent more to provide more access and more awareness. But in what I'm seeing through my own personal experience is just not enough interpreters who have that expertise. Sherry would like to say something. Hi. Thank you. I know that you have mentioned there is some difficulty about people who don't want to do the tactile, but I think we need to really work hard to educate interpreters to accept that we need this access and we require tactile interpreting. We can't depend on VRI. That is not accessible for us. I know sometimes people use family, and you know, that's okay if that's what they want. But for those of us who want to be independent, you know, we still have a right to have that access, and we need someone. For example, I need someone in person. So I know it's a big job, but we've got to get that information out there. I know people maybe are not comfortable with tactile interpreting, but we are waiting for long periods of time to get that access. So we need to do something to encourage these interpreters to provide this access. This is Lisa. If I could. You're right, Sherry. You're exactly right. I think the key is that we need to really talk more about the importance of educating people about our community and what it is we need. Jesse is a fantastic presenter. He would be a wonderful person to be able to provide that kind of, you know, training and workshop. We definitely need to do this. This is Jesse. Jesse here. I have definitely talked about the needs of interpreters, but there are, you're right, many of the interpreters are not comfortable doing tactile, and they still have issues related to COVID. But Sherry, you're right. It's true. We need to get information out there because this is the access that we require. We need that. I mean, when I'm having a meeting here at ASD, I need to be able to use tactile because it's visually too much information. I can't process it visually. So I can understand some interpreters' reticence. They don't know how to do tactile or they're not comfortable with the physical touch. So you're right. It is definitely a problem. I don't know how we're going to do it. We're not, you know, we don't have enough interpreters to do appointments and so forth. Again, I'm not sure how we can resolve that. I think education is key. We can demonstrate how to do this. But especially since COVID, a lot of interpreters have become very comfortable working remotely. And I don't know how do we get them back into doing this, because we can't do tactile through virtual. So yes, that's what I can say. This is Alvin. I believe Elise has been raising her hand very patiently. If we could interpret the spotlight the interpreter, please.
Thank you, Alvin. I was really just going to say we have several houses that use sign language, but we have one, the one where the gentleman attended camp, that used tactile sign, and the manager of that program trains all of her incoming staff. But I have the same concerns because I know that she will be ready to retire in the next year or so. And so we have been brainstorming as well how we can get our staff trained, because that's how we facilitate the appointments. All the staff that work at that house specifically have been there a really long time, and so they're proficient with tactile sign. We're looking and trying to strategize about ways to get the resources or trainings in. So I will be happy to hear about any kind of trainings or anything so that we can participate in them as well and send our staff.
This is Alvin. Thanks to everyone for sharing that. If you all have any information, any questions, any concerns for yourself or your clients, please keep in touch with me so that we can see if we can get on top of this issue. I'm going to put my contact information in the chat, so please do reach out to me. Thank you.
well, this is, how about